that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. Our second reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. And this can be found on page 78. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or, what king, going out to wage a war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. There's a book called Hard Sayings of Jesus, and this is one of those hard sayings. When we look at that scripture, we look at, in your Pew Bible, it says, for that paragraph, the cost of discipleship. What does it cost you? Well, not doing it might cost you your everlasting life. To do it may cost you this life. So the idea is to count the cost before. Jesus wants people to count the cost, because he doesn't want them imagining that everything's going to be peachy, keen, nifty, neato, smooth sailing, because it won't be. They have to, whoever comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even life itself cannot be my disciple. Well, There are five authors that have written this book, Hard Sayings of Jesus. One of them is F.F. Bruce. What does it mean? Well, the usage of the word hate, the Greek word that's used there, often is translated as hate, but it's also often translated as loveless. And in this case, that is probably what's intended. It means that just as property can come between us and the kingdom of God, so can family ties. The interests of God's kingdom must be paramount with the followers of Jesus. Everything else must take second place. Now, that's not to say that these grandparents who we just celebrated and great-grandparents that we just celebrated think less of their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren. It's that compared to their love for Christ Jesus, everything else is less than. So, the challenge for us is when we pick up the scriptures and we read them, we need to read them within the context with which they're written. Sometimes we have to just sit and ponder over it, because I certainly am not going to hate my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to hate my parents. Jesus says, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. Well, what's one of the Ten Commandments? Honor thy father and thy mother. Well, isn't Jesus saying that you have to, if you hate your father and mother, brother and sister? No. Keep in mind that who Jesus is talking to and the context. He is on a journey to Jerusalem, and he knows what it's going to cost him. He knows what's in store for him in Jerusalem. Do any of us know what it is that he's going to pay? The ultimate price? Peter, who loves him, Peter, who says he's going to follow him, even unto death. In one phrase, he says, in answer to Jesus asking the question, who is it that you say I am? He says, you are the Messiah. And God tells him, Jesus tells him, man has not told you this. God has revealed it to you. And then about four paragraphs later, Jesus says he's going to Jerusalem. And Peter says, no, no, you can't go there because they're going to kill you. And Jesus tells him, get thee behind me, Satan. Count the cost of service. Count the cost of following Jesus. Realize that the cost is going to be high. And in this, he gives them parables. He gives them examples of the person who builds a tower. He counts the cost before he starts the project. Otherwise, he's going to be ridiculed. He's going to be embarrassed. Goodness gracious, you didn't count the cost before you started? You know, here you've got a foundation, but you haven't built the rest of it? You know, you planned for that. Or the ruler who has a disagreement with another ruler, and he's got 10,000 troops, and the other guy's got 20,000. Well, he may want to count the cost before he enters that little battle. Prior to going into battle, he sends an emissary to find out what terms he can gain. You count the cost. Now, that's not to say that we're going to be able to count the cost of discipleship, because we don't know what it's going to cost. We know what it's cost some. Mother Teresa, I mean, years and years and decades in Calcutta. Other people who have given everything, their livelihood, their health, to serve God. Did they know that when they started? No, but recognize this, that no matter what it costs, Christ is always there with you. He's there to help you and comfort you. And even when the world is falling away beside you, he's going to be there with you. But he wants you to continue to look at the long term, not the short term. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Another hard saying. How many of you have gentlemen, as you were growing up, was there a particular automobile that you really wanted to have? My brother had a 1967 GTO. White leather seats, convertible, four on the floor. I really wanted that car. But it was my brother's. So I got to ride in it occasionally. Anybody else have a similar one of those things that you wanted? Oh, it's in your garage right now. Okay, this one's going to be tough for you, Bill. A 1939 Studebaker champion that got 1947 Studebaker champion that got stuck between trees in the woods. How did that happen? It's kind of, you got to count the cost before you enter the woods with your car. Okay? So there's another piece. But that last verse is you have to be willing to give all your possessions. Give up all of those possessions. Well, there was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, What must I do to have everlasting life? And Jesus says, follow the Ten Commandments, love, honor thy mother and thy father. And the ruler says, I've done this all my life. He's followed all the laws. Jesus says, good. Now give up all of your possessions, sell them and give to the poor, and come and follow me. And we know that the story was the ruler departs sad because his love for his material things is greater than serving Jesus. It doesn't mean that you have to give up everything. It says you have to be willing to surrender and use everything that you have, all your gifts and your talents, to the kingdom of God. That's not to say that everyone should be penniless, that everyone should be poor. If you've been blessed with material wealth, then use that, translate that to do kingdom work. And in that, it's not about how many treasures we set up here on earth, because rust and moth, but set up your store in heaven in kingdom things. That's where the value is. So when we step out to follow Jesus, we take up the cross and follow Him, serving brothers and sisters, father and mother, not hoarding things, material things. Be willing to serve and use those gifts and talents to benefit others. Recognize this. The cost that Jesus calls on you to pay, to be willing to pay, is everything. For what's it count a man if he gains the world but loses his soul? What's of most value? Follow Jesus. Gain your soul. And in that, everlasting peace and joy. Shalom.